does not determine your possibility. That's a Selah moment. Your condition does not determine your possibility. Does that sound good? Where you are right now is not a, what we might call, a grave marker. It's not the place where you give up, but it's the place where you begin anew. Got one more for you. When potential is lost, your future is abandoned. When potential is lost, your future is abandoned. We've got a lot of young people, a lot of energy. You're going to go through some trials and things that's going to upset you in life. But remember your potential. Not what you did, but what you could do. Does that sound all right? This is my sermonette for today. 5-minute sermon. Got one more. The unmined ore. Now, this is a heavy one right here. I actually got this from Milton McGorrell. He says, the unmined ore of inner strength yields the gold of achievement and success. The unmined ore of inner strength yields the gold of achievement and success. And he was basing that on the scripture that says, stir up your gift. Stir up the gift that is in you that was given by God. You got to stir it up. How's that? Let me repeat it one more time. Your condition does not determine your possibility. That's number one, right? Second one, when potential is lost, the future is abandoned. And then the last one by Milton McGorrell. The unmined ore of inner strength yields the gold of achievement and success. Can somebody say amen to that? Amen. So every time you come to church, it's to stir up that gift that God put in you. It is to stir up your possibility, what you're capable of doing. You all may not realize it because I thought that Hannah just started college and she's now graduated. Wow. It is no secret what God can do. We look at what others are doing and we say, well, I can't do that. Have you tried? Yeah, I tried. Well, try again. Because as long as you're living, you got one more chance. Can I get an amen in the house? All right, let's go to James chapter 1, verses 1 through 5. Those of you that are joining us online, go to James chapter 1, verses 1 through 5. Used to say, turn in your Bible. We don't say that anymore. Go to your smartphone, electronic device, or whatever means you have of getting the word, but mostly get the word. James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greeting. My brothers, count it all joy. Count it all what?
Joy.
Count it all what?
Joy.
Count it all joy when you fall into various temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith works patience. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that gives to all men liberally and does not reproach, and it shall be given. Look at somebody for the first time and tell them, deal with it. You may be seated. God, we thank you again for your love and your grace. Help us to preach, Lord, what we've studied for. I pray that you'd give us understanding, that we might bring it out with clarity, that, Lord, you might be glorified. I praise you and I honor your name today. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. What is trust? Trust is dependence. Trust is reliance. Trust is saying, I believe that this will support me. People say, well, I don't know how to trust. Well, you're sitting in a pew today. And if you didn't have a certain amount of trust, you wouldn't be sitting on that pew. Because you would be suspicious as to whether or not it could hold you up. But you trusted that. When you trust God, you're placing your dependence, your weight on Him. You're depending on God to do for you and to help you through every crisis or trial that you face in life. Now, a lot of us older people, we can say, well, we've been trusting the Lord for a long time. Some of our younger people, maybe you're not quite there yet, but I can tell you, God is dependable. He's reliable. My grandma would say, He may not come when you want Him, but He's on time. We've got to learn to trust Him. Story is told about a tightrope walker that he could walk across vast canyons, ravines. He could walk from building to building. And that tightrope walker would always cross successfully. So he asked the crowd one day, do you think that I could walk across this tightrope with 200 pounds of weight in this wheelbarrow? Crowd said, oh, yes, you can do that. You can do that. You can walk across. He looked at one person in the crowd. He said, do you think I could walk across with a person in this wheelbarrow? And he said, oh, yeah, I believe you can do that. Then he looked at him and said, get in the wheelbarrow. What God says to us, get along with me. Come on board. Jesus put it this way, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. He's the one that takes us through this journey called life. And that's the reason that James can write to us, count it all joy. Count it all joy when you're facing these struggles in life. Count it all joy. Anyone can do well on the mountaintop. Everybody can rejoice when life doesn't pose many threats. You can say, man, I trust God. I trust God. But as soon as a problem comes in, do you really trust Him? Notice what James is telling us in this verse. He says, count it all joy when the moment of impact, the moment that you get the doctor's report, the moment that you get a bill in the mail, or the moment legal trials or something else in life comes up, the moment life hits you, James says, don't throw up your hands and say, what, I'm done. He writes to us, count it all joy. That bad news that came last week. What should I do with this, preacher? Count it all joy. And ladies and gentlemen, that's the only way that you can deal successfully with life. It's called trust preparation. And what James wants you to do when you're there, and you're on the front line. These teams are going to line up against one another. And you're going to have them tonight on the Super Bowl. You're going to have them, you know, just you can almost feel the breath of each opponent after each other. They can't wait. Sometimes life will do that with you. And wouldn't it be nice if it's like a kung fu fight? Y'all seen these kung fu fights where the bad guy always attacks one at a time? Wouldn't it be nice for life to do that? Just attack you one at a time. That only happens on kung fu movies. Sometimes you feel like the weight of the world is on your shoulder. Everything is happening. Car breaks down. Appliances in your house, they fall apart. Worse yet, you get an eviction notice. Now what are you going to do? You trust God. And you count it all joy. This is telling us, prepare for what's attacking you. Don't just let it happen. You prepare for it. How do you prepare for it, preacher? You prepare by saying, I trust in God. I know He cares for me. He didn't bring me this far to leave me now. I'm going to lean on the everlasting arms. When you remind yourself not what's happening, but who you believe in. When you remind yourself that God is able and that God does not abandon you. As a matter of fact, He walks with you through that trial. He walks with you through that storm so you can hold your head up high. And say, Lord, I'm going to deal with it. I'm going to deal with it. I would be wrong if I did not admit that there were times that I've faced trials. I've had tears to stream down my face. I've gotten up late at night and walked across the carpet a couple of times. And I've said to myself, Lord, why? Why am I going through this midnight? Why am I facing these problems? You know I love you, so Lord, what are you doing? We all question God. We all have those moments of doubt. We all have those times that we're tortured, not just by what's happening, but the inner thoughts that keep processing. Well, see, I told you. See, I told you that was going to happen. And it's hard to break free. But you know what? I learned something. The devil might be able to attack you on the outside, but he can't control what's in here. He can't get on the inside unless you let him get there. And what you got to tell the devil and put a sign up there, I'm counting it all joy. He'll bypass your house. He might send his affliction, but guess what? You won't allow it to bombard your faith. You won't allow it to come in and destroy that inner sanctuary of peace where God has designed for you. Then I had to reflect on the fact that when we start going through a trial and we don't count it all joy, I had to reflect on what Jesus did. He faced tribulation. John baptized Jesus in the Jordan River, and immediately after Jesus was baptized, he was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. And you know, you God, what's up with this? This is your main man here. This is your beloved son that you just said, I'm well pleased. You mean you're going to take him through a struggle? You're going to let him get hungry? I know some of y'all go hungry. In country, we call it hungry. That's when you got more than stomach growling. Are y'all still here? Jesus suffered hunger. And on top of that, when he was at his weakest point, he was tested. Hey, Jesus, make these stones into bread. You can do it. So Satan tried to tempt him with a misuse of God's power. And Jesus responded back, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of joy. Now, we look at what Jesus said, but we don't look at the motivation of how and why Jesus said it. Jesus had so much joy of God on the inside by the Holy Spirit, amen, that the word just came out. When you have the joy and the confidence of God on the inside of you, the word just comes out. It expresses itself because you realize greater is he that is in you than the one that is in the world. I wish you could understand that what's attacking you on the outside can't damage the inside unless you open the door. Better yet, I wish you could understand that when something like trouble is knocking at your door, send Jesus to the door. Are y'all still here? Jesus was led by the devil to be tempted, or by the Spirit to be tempted of the devil. But what we need to understand is the outcome. After the temptation, what happened to Jesus? Did he just defeat the devil? Yes, he defeated the devil, but that's not just it. The Bible says in Luke 4 and 14, he returned in the power of the Spirit. So the test actually made him stronger. Some of you young people, you go to school, and the teacher will tell you things all week long, and rather than you paying attention, you're doodling on your paper. So what the teacher will do at the end of the week or at the end of a certain time, they will put on your desk what's called a test. Now, the test is supposed to bring out what the teacher told you. But if you didn't write it down, if you didn't study it, I'm very doubtful if you're going to pass that test. And I love what they call them in math. When you take a mathematic test, they don't give you the answer. They give you the problem so that you can come up with, are y'all listening to me? When God sends you a test, he would never send the test if he hadn't already given you the answer. Are y'all still here? Oh, what am I going to do now? And guess what? God always gives you an open book test. Go to the Word and let God's Word speak to you. That's because you're prepared. And he that loves you will never send a problem your way if he hadn't prepared you. That's why James says you can count it all joy. You can deal with it. Look at somebody a second time and tell them, deal with it, deal with it, deal with it. But I got to say this, I think one of the barriers, we talked about several barriers on last week as to why we cannot go through these times with all joy, why we can't deal with it. One is fear, anxiety. Oh, my God, what's going to happen? Mark Twain says half of the things that we worry about never happen anyway. And then we have this thing of where tradition comes in. Tradition tells us, well, just do what you've been doing. Well, what if the problem is a different one? If you do the same thing, you're going to fail. And that's why we challenge you to allow God to develop you, allow God to mold you, allow God to shape you into the image of what he would have you to be. Are y'all still here? Now, all of this is going to come together next week. You're not going to get it right now, but next week we're going to bring our final message in dealing with it because there's something God wants to teach you in this process. See, we've been mislabeling stuff. And so what God wants to do is to bring out his creativity in you and for you to label stuff what it really is and not what you think it is. Look at somebody, tell them, deal with it. Circumstance comes about and you say, oh, this is more than what I can stand. No, it's not. He will never put more on you than what you can bear. God would never put more on you than what he put in you. Oh, can I get a witness here? I'm getting ready to preach now. As an old man said, I'm fitting to preach now. Because when you count it all joy, God has prepared you. He has allowed you to come to that moment not as a victim, but a victor. You got to have your weapons on. You got to be ready to fight. Don't ever think that the devil is playing. He's not playing. He would kill you if he could. If he could. But God does not give him permission. Oh, come on, somebody. Death circled your bed this morning, wanted to grab you, but God did not give it permission. Oh, look at somebody, tell them, I'm alive today. I'm alive today. Just the goodness of God. Nothing I did, but just the goodness of God. And because God's so good, I'm going to praise him. But we come to the second part, not just trust preparation, because what joy does is lead you into something else. It brings you to something else in this process. If you're thinking that joy is the only thing that you have, no, joy just prepares you. But what does joy prepare us for, preacher? It says, Count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptation, knowing this, that the trying of your faith, look at this, works patience. You let a whole lot of stuff upset you, and you become impatient, doing the wrong thing when all you had to do, pump the brakes. Hold up a minute. Slow up. A lot of answers would come to you if you just be patient. Oh, no, you got to do it right. You got to have it right now. Quit being so hyper. Sit down. Listen to God. Pay attention to what he's telling you. You ever tell young kids, sit down? Try telling the two-year-old. I remember one time I went to a church meeting with Jay. He ain't gonna like this, but went to a church meeting with Jay. I told him, I said, I want you to stay on that pew. Don't get off that pew. Sure enough, he did not get off that pew. But he crawled from one end to the next. And then he looked like he slid from one end to the next. He didn't say a word, but he made all these sounds. God says, be still and know that I'm God. Let me put it to you in our modern language. Chill out. Just chill out. We get upset about things that really you need to maintain your patience. God brought you to that, not so that you would get upset, but that you would sit down. Let patience, look at it, have its perfect work. What is God doing when a trial comes your way? You count it all joy. Joy says, I'm with you, man. I'm on board with you. But then patience brings out this toolbox. I started to bring a toolbox, but that thing was too heavy. He brings out a toolbox, and whatever you need for that problem, for your life, is in the tool. I wish I could shout up in here. It's in the toolbox. That's how you deal with it. Got a problem with anger? Go to the toolbox, find the tool that has anger. And by that I mean, find the scriptures that deal with anger. Say, okay, God, you need to teach me this. So God will sit down and the Holy Spirit will minister to you so that you won't get upset. People cussing you out. You just look at them with a smile. I used to smile, but I had something behind that smile too. Boy, you just don't know. And all the while, you thinking it in your mind instead of letting the Lord have his way. Any of y'all learning something today? I want to take my time and deal with this, because what we want to do, and this is a part of God's riches for you in Christ, because what we want to do is think that every time we have a need, God's going to give us silver and gold. The situation may not be calling for silver and gold. It might be calling for more power than what you can generate. But that's when you go to God and go to your toolbox and say, Lord, we need to crank up the power here. I need to crank up the perseverance. I need to crank up my ability to deal with life. And if you have patience, the answer will come to you. How many of y'all heard the term sleep on it? How many of you heard that, right? And what the old people were telling you or trying to tell you is that if you would slow down and just get in a restful state of mind, most of the times you will find the answer to a difficulty or a problem if you just sleep on it. And David called it in Psalms. He would use the word, it was a musical note that said, Selah. And what that meant, pause for a moment. Reflect on what God has already done for you. And he's never failed you yet. What gives you the idea that he would fail you now? God is almighty. And he's put his almighty goodness inside of you. What raised Jesus from the dead is now living inside of you. You have that power in you. When does it come out, preacher? When you're tested. And when you're patient, that's when God begins to apply that gift that you have. I want to close by giving you a couple of things here. We dealt with some of the barriers that causes us to not be able to deal with it. Tradition, anxiety. We dealt with those things, and we know that they can be barriers to us. They can be things that will keep us from enjoying God. Compromise. All of those things are barriers, but there's one more that I need to bring out, and it's called pride. Pride is tough to deal with. You say, preacher, how can I show pride by questioning God? I don't know why the Lord doing this to me. I don't know why he let this happen. Who are you to judge the judge? Who are you? And with that attitude, God's going to send more stuff in your life. Because you know what he wants you to do? He wants you to get on your knees. And when you're on your knees, you say, God, I can't deal with it, but you can. Are y'all in the house today? Hello? Emerson Fosdick said, a person wrapped up in self makes a very small package. I like that. One preacher by the name of H.A. Ironside said, pride is a barrier to all spiritual progress. It's a barrier. I was reading in the book by David Jeremiah, Facing the Giants in Your Life, and he said he had a professor in Dallas Seminary that he kept a notebook. And in that notebook had all the names of his students and other ministers that had fallen into sexual immorality. Had fallen. And as he looked at the list, he wasn't trying to just keep a list, but he wanted to know, why had they fallen? What happened to them? And in every case, he said it was pride and arrogance. A problem will humble you. Y'all ain't said nothing, so I must be right. A problem will send you on your face in a hurry. When you got stuff hitting your bank account and you ain't got something going into your bank account, Lord, I'm so dependent on my Social Security check coming in a little bit later this month. I can't wait, amen, because I know stuff going to hit. Things are going to hit you. But when you have the greatest riches of all the world inside of you, when you have the grace of God with you, the Lord says, I got you covered. You're covered by the blood of Jesus. Don't let the things of pride build you up to the point where you feel like you're too good. You're too high and mighty. Because one phone call can bring you to your knees. I often think about young Jamari having to face some of the struggles that he's had in his mom. You know, and you're so grateful to see another day, that even when somebody cuts you off in traffic, you say to yourself, you know what, just let them go. I'm so thankful for what God has done. Words cannot express it. You got to have that attitude. Last thing I want to share with you today is something very important for us to have, is that when patience is having its work, you got to look at a situation from the standpoint, God is going to work this out sooner or later. Write that down, please. I know it sounds so simple. Preacher, we know that. I asked you, did you know it? I'm asking you, do you believe it? God is going to work this out for his glory sooner or later. And if he works it out later, then I'm just going to sit back and enjoy the goodness of God. If he works it out sooner, I'm going to praise him anyhow. Either way, God's going to work it out. I close by sharing with you the life of Marian Anderson. Marian Anderson actually was born in Virginia, but she traveled to Philadelphia, where she found out she had the ability to sing, and boy, did she sing. Her contralto voice was so powerful that she literally awed the people in Europe and all over the world. Marian Anderson was well known. But when she came back to the States, there was this little problem called racism. This little problem that said, you can sing, but you can't sing here. Marian Anderson was not deterred by that. On one occasion, she had been invited to sing in Washington, D.C. for the NAACP, and all of the venues that they had brought up could not accommodate her. All of the black-owned venues could not accommodate her. So she requested, and others did, that she would sing at Constitution Hall in Washington, D.C. There she would try to provide her songs. Well, they said, well, you know what? We don't allow Negroes to sing up in here. The Daughters of the Revolution had passed a decree. You can't sing up in here. But when you got a song in your heart and it's from God, God gonna get that song out of you. Right. Hannah had a song in her heart and God brought forth that song, you know. And so Marian Anderson didn't give up, and she had this friend called Eleanor Roosevelt, the president's wife. She went to the president, said, Mr. President, we need a place for Marian to sing. He said, well, if she wants to sing on top of the White House, I don't care. Let her sing. Sure enough, the first person to ever sing at the Lincoln Monument was Marian Anderson. April the 9th, 1939, that girl sung. She sung, My Country, 'Tis of Thee, Sweet Land of Liberty, to thee I sing. And as she sung, it mesmerized people. Because while she had been granted a problem, this situation didn't go away. But in the midst of racism, in the midst of people saying, you ain't doing it here. Well, as a matter of fact, come to find out, Constitution Hall couldn't hold the crowd that she sung to. When you have been called by God, when you have been given the power of the Lord to do his will, problems gonna come, situations gonna stand in your way, but you don't try to fight them by yourself. You said, Lord, help me on this journey. And if God is with you, you can deal with it. I'm looking at a congregation of people who are saying to themselves, you know what? COVID does not rule me. This environment does not rule me. Politics, they don't rule me. I am God's child. I can deal with life because the one who walks with me is greater than anything that I'll ever face. When you start believing that, you start holding your head up high. As a matter of fact, Marian had a way that she would sing and she would just close her eyes and lift up her head and sing to the top of her voice how she loved Jesus. Is there anybody in here that loved God? While you're standing to your feet, look at somebody for this last time and tell them, I'm gonna deal with it. I ain't gonna run from it, I'm gonna deal with it. I got God's joy, but more than that, I got patience working in me, and that patience is gonna help me because that's the power of God on my behalf. Bow your heads. Father, we thank you again for your mercy and love. And God, I just got started preaching, but I gotta close for right now, but I can't wait till next week. God, I'm praying that you would touch hearts today. Help people to deal with their difficulties. I don't mean to minimize their problem. I don't mean to minimize the issues that they're going through. That's certainly not my intent. My intent is to glorify you greater than the problem. There's never been an issue that you couldn't solve. There's never been a circumstance that you couldn't guide us through. So bless that one that's praying right now. That person online, Lord, that doctor's report that they're trying to deal with, tell them by your Spirit, trust you. Trust in God, and the Lord will make it happen. Father, I pray for that one that needs salvation, that ones that nearest eternity without the hope of Jesus in their heart. I pray that they would open their hearts right now and believe and know that you are God. Thank you, Lord, for helping us deal with it. Lord, we would have been messed up a long time ago, but we knew we had your unchanging hand to guide us through. Thank you, Father. We love you and we praise you. In Jesus' name, amen. To those that are standing in here, if you've never made a decision for Christ, today is that day. This is the hour. You can surrender to him and say, Lord, I want to trust you. I want to believe in you. Would you help me? If that's your prayer, you can just simply come down front and we'll pray with you. We'll ask God to do his work in your life. If you're online, you send us a line. Let us know if you've accepted Christ. Crossroadbc.com. If you're in the parking lot, call me later and we can help you grow in your faith. Whichever way, today is the day to trust God. Amen? Amen. Let's put your hands together. Now, y'all clapping all over the place. I trust in God wherever I may be. Upon the land or on the raging sea. For come what may. From day to day, my heavenly Father watches over me. And that's why I trust in God. And I know that on a mountain peak, sometimes on the stormy sea, the billows may roll, oh yes they will. He keeps my soul. My heavenly Father watches over me.
As we get ready to leave, I just wanted to say to Pastor Coleman, thank you for allowing the Lord to use you. Because that sermon, this series of sermons, it's helping everybody. And if it's not helping you, you need to ask God to open up your heart and your ears so you can hear what he's telling us. Shall we pray? Our Father and our God, Lord, we thank you for this day. We thank you for our life, our health, and our strength. We thank you, Father, just for the movements and activities of our limb, Father. We thank you, Lord, for allowing us to travel the dangerous highways to make it here this morning. And Father, we pray, Father, as we leave here today, you grant us with traveling mercy. We see the snow flurries are falling, but you're going to give us grace to get home. We pray, Father, Lord, that you would bless us, Father, even down through the weeks, whatever we have to face, Lord. You let us know that we can deal with it by your power. But let us know, Father, by your grace and your mercy, that you are always around to protect us. Father, we pray that you dismiss us from this place, but not from our holy presence. Father, we pray this prayer in Jesus' name. Amen, amen. And amen.